Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And now guys are asking this question. Well, what if we don't win the World Series this year? Okay, here we go.
Well, again, guys, I'll say it again. It wasn't Snicker's fault that we had to start a relief pitcher. We only covered three innings, right? And Minter did a great job. And, you know, we could put the Dodgers out. It's not his fault that Dansby went and got caught in a rundown, okay? And we had some, like, classic, you know, base running gaffes, Carl. It's, you know, we had some early days of Bobby Cox, and it's not, like, again, all the times I kill Bobby. It's not his fault. But, I mean, this time, guys, Snicker has had to deal with, and we'll talk more about it coming up, but Snicker, Carl, has dealt with so many different lineups, so many different pitching rotations, pulling guys. Think about it. You're in Gwinnett. Next. You're up. You. Next. And they're still winning the division. I mean, right. As much as I want to say Snicker is uncompelling, the guy's done a pretty damn good job.
I agree. I totally agree. We'll dive into this as part of our strong arm story of the day and talk more about the Braves and also what Snit had to say about a guy that, at least I have a question mark next to. Mike thinks that maybe he could have a big year. I think a lot of people feel that way when it comes to Austin Riley. It's all on the way. As far as the Falcon Report, it's brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Domino's, guys, there's all sorts of great deals going on every day of the week. But right now, guys, a reminder, there's multiple crusts for you to enjoy. Five different crusts with up to three toppings any day of the week. Get the details when you go to Domino's.com. And don't forget about that car side delivery. Make it easy on the way home.
All right, guys, we spent a lot of time, and we will continue to spend a lot of time on our first round selection. Right now, we're picking four, okay? We don't know if that changes. We don't know if we move back, we move down. We're picking four. But what if I told you that our second round pick was just as important? And I want to take you back. 2015, we drafted a guy named Jalen Collins in the second round. He ended up helping us, but then he ended up being a bust. And Jalen Collins ultimately flamed out and was not good enough to even stay in the league with the issues that went right on with him.
Got picked on in the Super Bowl because, remember, Trufant was out for the second half of the season.
He absolutely
helped us get there, but unfortunately we fell short in the big game.
So you get to 2016, and the only guy in the last 5 years, and I want you to just think about this, 5 years, that's turned into something and has actually gotten a second contract worthy of his ability. There's a guy named Deion Jones. Debo was our second-round pick. In 2017, we didn't have a second. We had a third, a guy named Duke Riley. Mike, we ended up trading him.
Didn't get much of anything from him. You can't do this. I know where you're going with this, but already I'm getting angry. You cannot waste these picks.
And so that gets us, jeez, to 2018.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Isaiah Oliver was our second-round pick in 2018. Uh-huh. I've said this. I only trust one corner right now on this defense, and that's AJ. That's it. I know some guys believe Isaiah Oliver is going to continue to give. I don't buy
Sheffield.
It.
Sheffield. It would be Terrell, Sheffield, Carl. They literally think about this. They had to move him around where they could finally find a place he could do the least damage. There's no other way to talk about Isaiah Oliver. That's real.
And then last year, remember, obviously, we go offensive line, and our second turned into a first late because we traded to go get Caleb McGarry. Guys, since 2015, we've had one basically second round pick turn out to be a major contributor to our football team? And the reason why we're talking about this is I know we're all caught up. If we screw up four, we screwed up. But that's one that you really shouldn't be worried about. We're going to get a player, right? And then you keep your fingers crossed that they come out to be everything we think they are. What about second and third and fourth round picks, Mike? Because these guys should be contributing to our team. And I just gave you four or five examples of guys that are no longer here or not contributing, one guy in the last 5 years.
Well, again, guys, you might not have any corners left by the time we're picking where the Falcons select. Think about it. I mean, that's the reality. The corners are going to go. There's a top tier of corners. We talked about this the other day on the show. J.C. Horn from South Carolina might be there for you. You know, and when you're picking in that second round, you might want to go offensive line, Carl, to your point. You want to maybe get a tackle that'll play guard for a year or two, then take over for Jake Matthews. You know, there's a couple of guys, Tevin Jenkins from Oklahoma State. I love all the guys from Ohio State, by the way. That'd be some of the guys I'd be interested in. Or from Alabama. You know, there's a couple of dudes, you know, if you feel that, you know, are you cool with Hennessy, Landon Dickerson, Alex Leatherwood at tackle or guard? Or do you want to go edge rusher or outside linebacker? But, I mean, these are the decisions, Carl, provided if you just want to say for argument's sake we're going to go QB or best available at four.
Yeah, and you know, this is the other part of the job that nobody's talking about with Terry Fontenot and this staff. Now, they are internally because they understand how important it is. But if you're really going to build for the future, and again, don't worry about the quarterback. Don't worry about who our quarterback's going to be. Whether it's Matt playing till he's 40, fine. Whether it's Justin Fields and he's in year four. How do you build a roster that sustains success? This is why our former general manager is not here, guys. This is why our former head coach is not here. It wasn't necessarily all about winning and losing on the field over the last 3 years, which it was. But when you go through this and you start going, ooh, bust, traded, gone, out the league.
All right.
Second round picks. Not fifth and sixth. Second.
And again, why did we go to the Super Bowl in 16? Because we got contributions from Keanu Neal and from Debo and from Devondre Campbell, a fourth rounder, Carl. That's why you see, A, how hard it is to nail it, or maybe let's hope that Fontenot and his crew will actually do their job the way Dimitroff did his job early on with the Falcons and did a great job in 16. You can never debate that. We were able to get – we joked – how many times you and I joked around, I need three starters, you numbskulls? And we actually got three starters. It doesn't always happen like that.
Yeah.
It's hard.
16 draft was Neal. Debo was the second round pick. Hooper, who's now with Cleveland, was
totally
the
forgot about
pick.
Hooper on offense. And then Devondre, yeah.
And then Devondre Campbell was the fourth round pick. So your four guys immediately, boom, had an impact on your team. Don't know if that happens this year. My point is we can't go 5 years in between second-round picks being major contributors to our football team. Hayden Hurst joined us earlier, guys. I just want you to hear a little bit of what he had to say. Full interviews online, but we asked him what's been going on in his world.
Everything's going good, guys. I'm down here in sunny Florida, and I just can't enjoy enough of it. It's about 85 and sunny, so the perfect off season right now.
Oh, you dog. Oh, man, that's killing.
I know.
So I know we talked about it. We know you got acclimated here in the A, and we were just talking about it last hour. We said, man, if anything, you know, it's so many weapons on offense. Sometimes it's like they forgot about you because you were a big-time weapon in the red zone. What did you think of your first year? How would you evaluate your first year in Atlanta?
You know, in my personal opinion, I'm obviously a perfectionist. I wouldn't be in the NFL if I wasn't. I think I'm capable of much more, and I think towards the end of the season, I kind of tapped in finally to what I think I'm capable of. You know, they used me in the red zone. I started stretching the field vertically a little bit here and there, but, you know, I'm excited about the new staff. You know, hopefully they're watching some of my tape too, as well as the other guys, and they can, you know, hopefully I can help us do great things in the future. You know, like I said, I think I just kind of tapped into what I'm capable of doing on the field this year towards the end.
Hayden, has Arthur Smith or our general manager, I know it's a little different with the GM, more I think coaches would do this, but have they either one of those guys reached out or has that not happened yet?
The tight end coach, he's reached out. After I won the Alan Page Community Award, Arthur Smith reached out, the head coach reached out. And so I've been in a little bit of contact with those guys, but, you know, I haven't talked to him in depth yet, but, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
What do you do when a guy, you know, you obviously we had a different regime. Now you got a new coach. Do you look it up and see what they were doing in Tennessee as a player, or you just wait till you get your new playbook?
Yeah, you know, I've obviously checked out what they did in Tennessee, and they used the tight end a ton, you know, with Jonnu Smith and the things that they had him doing. You know, it's exciting. You know, I saw some article came out, you know, the tight end saw a certain percentage of throws from Tannehill in their offense. So it's definitely exciting, but, you know, I just got to go out there and do what I'm capable of doing, and I think that'll take care of the rest.
Bro, you know, we keep it real with you, right? I mean, we talk about what we talk about when you're not even on the show. And I was frustrated with our coordinator last year and Dirk Cutter, right? And I know he's no longer here, but I want to get your perspective on this because was it scheme or was it lack of execution when we talk about why our offense didn't excel the way we thought it would? Now, I know one of our biggest pieces in Julio wasn't on the field. Hayden, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about what you saw and what you guys did every day. What was wrong, and why didn't we exceed the way we thought we would?
You know, a lot of factors go into it. Like we just talked about, you know, this whole COVID season, it was extremely strange. It was hard to, you know, at the start to get on the same page schematic-wise. I think it just took us a little while to get going. You know, I saw somewhere we lost, 10 or 11 games by one possession, and we're not very far off. I know people, you know, Atlanta sports fans always get heartbroken and stuff like that, but I truly don't think this team is that far off, you know, and it shows. We almost beat, you know, the Super Bowl, the former Super Bowl champions, the Super Bowl runner-ups. We were in every game with Tampa. So, I mean, we're a potent offense. We've got athletes all over the field. It's just, it's going to take hopefully this new staff coming in and putting guys in the right positions.
It's Hayden Hurst with us guys here on Dukes and Bell. And Hayden, you know, you touched on it. You know, we know it. Falcon fans live it. You're now a part of it for your first year. How do you get clutch? I mean, is that something that you guys even talk about? When it seems like when moments seem to get their own momentum and we can't find a way to close it out.
Yeah, I think that's going to start in camp. And, you know, I'm sure with a new staff and all those guys coming in, you know, they're going to push guys to their limits here in training camp. I'm almost positive that's going to be how it goes. And they're going to see, you know, who their guys are, who the people they can rely on. And it's going to be fun. You know, it's always fun when a new staff comes in because it's just another way you get to prove yourself. You kind of start from scratch and you say, hey, you know, I'm going to go out here and do my thing and show what I'm capable of and just get somebody to believe in you.
Hayden Hurst, guys, earlier in the show, great stuff from Hayden Hurst. And again, all the information about the golf tournament is online at 929thegame.com. All right, coming up, Snit's new deal. Austin Riley, where is he at? Are we in the toughest division in baseball? One superstar thinks so. It's on the way.
And now, Sports Radio, 929 The Game, Sports Flash.
I'm Mike Conte. The Hawks' final four games before the All-Star break will all be played on the road starting tonight in Oklahoma City. Trae Young is coming off a 33-point game Wednesday against Boston and has averaged 27 per game in the month of February. Lloyd Pierce says Trae is playing at a high level.
He's going to soften the defense. All the schemes and all the blitzes that teams are throwing at him, the quicker he can punish people with the pass, they're going to have to soften their defense. And I think that's why he's playing great basketball.
Pre-game coverage starts at 7:30 on Sports Radio 92.9. The game, the Braves could get back to the 500 mark before the All-Star break if they win these next four games. Very busy weekend in college basketball starts tonight with Georgia State at South Alabama, Georgia Southern hosting App State, and Kennesaw State at home against Florida Gulf Coast. There are also home games tomorrow for Georgia against South Carolina and Georgia Tech against Syracuse. In Northport, the Braves are getting set to open the Grapefruit League Sunday against Tampa Bay. Also today, the team signed Brian Snitker to a contract extension through the 2023 season, plus a club option for 2024. The NBA's Board of Governors has approved the sale of the Atlanta Dream to a three-member investment group, including former player Renee Montgomery. Keeping you up to date on Atlanta sports when it happens, I'm Mike Conte. From the Kia Studios on your home of tonight's Hawks Thunder game, tip off at 8. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
How about a new extension for Brian Snitker? It is Dukes and Bell, and something we've been talking about today. Our poll question is up as well at Dukes and Bell 929. Here are your choices, by the way. Are you happy? The Braves extended Brian Snicker. Very happy, right move. 60% of the people who voted have said that. 37% have said lukewarm. We need a ring. 3%, at least right now, unhappy, Mike, and say we need a new face.
Well, I'll take clickbait for 500, Alex, as we said. Again, guys, the Braves never go outside of the family. It was never, I mean, they were never ever going to get in the mix for any of those sexy, you know, quote unquote, sexy managers, Carl, over the years. It was just never going to happen. You know, Madden, they don't do that. I mean, you and I talked about it. They were never going to do that. So, moving on. He's our guy, and I know that, Carl, would you agree that any manager in any city in America, you are going to have a problem with the guy over the course of 162? It's just, it's what fans do. My only consistent beef with Snit is let the young guys prove they can handle the pressure.
Okay.
John Smoltz, and again, if you don't want to listen to me, listen to Smoltz, because he said it a lot. Let these young guys, pitch count be damned, but again, we got to adhere to that. World Series was lost to the Rays by the Rays over pitch count. That's my only beef. I think he does as many good things as he does bad things. I think in some cases, the only thing a baseball manager can do is screw things up. And I think Snicker, most importantly, creates the culture, the vibe in that clubhouse, just like Bobby Cox did. The guys freaking love him. So, and by the way, show me a manager who could have handled all the different, Carl, the different lineups he had to run with injuries 1 year, and then all the pitching. Even last year in a 60-game season, it was a constant shuffle between Gwinnett and over to SunTrust.
Yeah, you know, and I remember a couple of years ago, we would play sound bites on the show because I would make fun of Brian Snicker because of his laid-back attitude. You know, every answer is, well, you know, I mean, Freddie. And it's just who he is. But I also think there is a perfect fit for this particular moment. The guys that he's seen come up through the minors and then being their manager at the major league level. Guy's 65 years old. He's been around baseball his entire life. So, you know, this is one of those things where I'm not disappointed. I'm not upset. As a matter of fact, I think it's the right move. But with that said, here's what I will tell people who say we need a new face. We're in our window again. Here we go again with the Braves and with this talent. And Alex Anthopoulos, the general manager, has shown his ability to supplement the pieces. He will continue to do that. Every team every year has to do that. And the great GMs are able to do that and sustain success. But you've got young arms that are going to be here. Fried, Soroka, you've got guys that are going to be here. Now you've got your lineup set, all right, for the next few years. Mike, we got to win one before this Brian Snicker thing is over. In 2024, we're talking about a World Series, and that's what I would tell people is that I think the pressure is on because now it's not we're waiting on these guys to get to the majors. It's they're right here, and we're winning.
Again, guys, every manager's got his thing. You know, I mean, Freddie, think about this, guys. Freddie Gonzalez wouldn't let Kimbrel have a four-out save. Remember that?
How can we forget?
And against who? It's always the freaking Dodgers. Even though we're no longer in the old NL West, it always comes down to the Dodgers. You get the Dodgers on the ropes, you got to start a relief pitcher. Okay? Still got a chance to knock him off. Dansby forgets what the hell's going on and trips going around third base. So, I mean, it's not Snicker. And again, I was unimpressed by the hire at the time. I've always felt that, yeah, there might be somebody else to do a better job. But then again, you look at Joe Maddon. Joe Maddon nearly gave the Cubs World Series away to the Indians a couple of years ago. Leland had as many screw-ups as he had wins. La Russa did the same thing with the A's and underachieved at times. So I know what people want to say, Chuckery. I know what people want to get into. But, I mean, he is what he is. He is a modern. He is Bobby Cox for this generation, and the franchise. As we said, they're not going to spend big money for a manager. No. And this guy has won 90 games twice in three divisions. So let's get off his back and let's hope that Alex has given him the tools to win it all this time.
I want to rehash something we talked about earlier because Mike brought up the whole, you know, going in a different direction. Meaning, you go outside of your circle, okay, and. It's challenging sometimes, but you see this in sports, but you see it in business as well. I mean, you go outside of the circle of folks that you know to try to bring in a fresh idea or two or maybe the spark. And I said to Mike, and I want you to rehash this with me. I said, well, they did that when they hired Alex Anthopoulos because Coppolella was a mess. And you said,
well, they poisoned the well. I mean, Coppolella, anybody who was associated with that regime was not going to get a shot because, you know, it was toxic because right. MLB had to come in. So they went outside and they went and they got again. We guys, if you're a Braves fan, thank God every day you got Alex Anthopoulos because even though we know there's a self-imposed Liberty Media salary cap, you know, which he won't admit, he's got to work. He's got to juggle all those balls in the air, dance between the raindrops and team every year with some circumstances you shouldn't have to for a big market team. But again, Carl, this squad, it's under the limitations of what they had to work with in this offseason. We got Ozuna back. We bolstered pitching. We're maybe got another closer. The team is pretty solid. I mean, the biggest ifs now, Austin Riley and Pache. Are these guys going to ball out this year?
Nick Markakis. It feels like they figured out this problem and they would have been just fine without him.
I mean, what? Look. Now, here's my argument for the new generation, yes. For you, yes. Youngsters, for you young millennials out there. Here's my argument with Bobby Cox. God, Bobby Cox is like a sacred cow in this town. All I'm saying is, if this was another organization, I mean, hell, the Yankees didn't go back to the World Series. They were ready to move on from Joe Torre in 97, okay? There's other teams would say four or five chances at the World Series with one of the best lineups, Carl, one of the best pitching rotations with every Cy Young Award winner. If you can't get it done, you should have changed the approach and got a new skipper. But that's water under the bridge. Now, in this day and age, they got Snitker. They're happy with the guy. The clubhouse, everybody loves him. They're not going to move on from it. The Braves, what's past is prologue. They're never going to change. They're never going to go for the big splash at manager.
Well, I think there's two things at play when we talk about this. It's Dukes and Bell. It's our strong arm story of the day. Brian Snitker gets an extension that'll take him to 2023. 2024 is team option. If let's just say we got to the NLCS again and we had another 3-1 lead and we blew it. And now we're all upset again, and we're PO'd. And let's just fast forward, and we get to 2022, and we get to the World Series, and we don't win it. You can't be in that situation and not think that, all right, a new manager's not coming in. And the point is that you're getting there. The talent is good enough to get you there. Apparently all the moves have been made, but we can't get over the hump. And that is when, Mike, I would tell you, that is when I believe that train of thought, that thinking might change. But it would have to be those extreme circumstances. I don't think us winning the division and then losing in the first round changes the manager. But I do think if we get back to an NLCS and we're up and we lose in the fashion we did this last season, right, and then next season we come back and we're better and we go to World Series and we can't pull through, that's when you start to say, okay, what the hell are we missing? Because the talent is good enough. And that may be the moment where – to challenge your thought, mm-hmm, and I'm not saying you're wrong. Obviously, it's not happened. We've seen how the Braves have hired, but I'm saying that could be the moment. I'm hoping we don't get to that point. I'm hoping we win a World Series this year, and Snitker comes back, and we win another one, and all of a sudden in this four-year period where we should be winning these opportunities, right, we do. We're not talking about we missed out, and now we got to go find the guy to help us get over the hump.
Look, guys, we said this a million times. You know, what did he have to work with a couple of years ago? I mean, my beef was I wanted to see more of Max Fried and less Faulty. But, Game 5 against the Cards, yeah, that played out. They just smoked us, and it's done. But I just think my only beef with him is let these younger guys, and again, Smoltz says it. I think Tom Glavine has said it a few times. We've had him on. Let the young guys pitch out of some jams. Don't ever use freaking Luke Jackson ever. But anyway, I'm sorry, I digress. But Snitker does, like all managers, you're going to have things which irk you. I still think when you look at all the different lineups, guys, the injuries they had to deal with, the rotation, the pitching, you were able to win a World Series. You had to throw guys who had like 10 or 12 innings under their belt in the postseason, and you got all the way to like a game from getting to the World Series.
All right, man. Snit, let's go. By the way, he said Austin Riley looks really good, and that is good news, at least so far in spring training. Mike, we got to get to some guy talk, man.
Yeah, man. Chick-fil-A had a problem in the drive-thru today. Disney and the NFL kiss and makeup. And who burned down the Krispy Kreme? It's all on the way, Carl. On a Friday, brought to you by Cricket Wireless, get more of what you love. Smile, you're on Cricket. Carl, I've got so much stuff. We've got to move. I feel like McLaughlin Group back in the day on NBC. You know, I've got a story about a 100-year-old man in Atlanta. Next! I've got a million things. All right, let's just dive right in. First off, news out of the NFL. We spoke with Steve Koonin last hour. Steve was a big shot, a macha, as they say in the business, in television for years. And he said that, you know, he's not too surprised that ESPN would eventually come to terms with the NFL, but he also said they're probably not happy is played in the media. But wait, there's more. NFL denies Sports Business Journal report of a deal between Disney, ABC, ESPN, and the league. Quote, the report is incorrect, and as we don't negotiate through the media, there will be no further comment.
Okay.
ESPN also declined comment. Somebody's been leaking this stuff. That's from Andrew Marchand, by the way, from the New York Post, who covers media. But for those who missed out on this, the word initially was the NFL was going to charge double for the new contracts for everybody. And apparently Fox, NBC, and CBS was all in. And you might put Thursday night games on Amazon or whatever. But ESPN apparently said, nah, Disney is the parent company. And then Steve Koonin said, if we went through with this, the problem is it's going to get passed on to you, the viewer, in some form of your bill. So what do you make of that? Latest news that broke about 2 hours ago, the NFL says, nah, 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 that's inaccurate.
Yeah. So my guess is they're upset that this got leaked.
Bingo.
And they are trying to backpedal a little bit because, again, they wanted to break this news and present it the way that they wanted to present it. And so, therefore, now it's out there, and here's we're doing it. A bunch of guys around the country probably doing it, speculating, mm-hmm. Well, what's this going to mean for my pocketbook? What's it going to mean for my NFL ticket? And I think, Mike, the NFL was like, dang it, we wanted to drop this and tell you guys all about where we were going with this. And so now – we'll see what happens. I still think this deal's in place. I don't think this kind of information gets out. Hmm. There's only a few people privy to these kind of negotiations in those rooms
right.
that know what's really going on. And I guarantee you somebody who knows somebody said, it's going to happen, and here's what it's going to look like, but you're going to hear from me.
All right, man. Locally, this is coming from the AJC, several Chick-fil-A stores in the state of by a nationwide outage of a payment vendor that the company uses today, causing them to be unable, Carl, to process credit cards.
What?
Yeah, nationwide outage at Chick-fil-A's, quote, third-party payment vendor. They are currently unable to process any credit or debit cards. That was earlier today. That was about around lunchtime. Yikes. So they had limited ability to process mobile transactions through the Chick-fil-A app. They issued a statement that Channel 2 has. So that's not good. Some stores are only able to accept cash payments while others could still process mobiles and scan to pay. And I guess in some cases, you don't get your chicken.
No, that's not cool. That's not cool. I need my chicken, son.
Take care of your chicken. Take care of your mental.
I need my chicken.
As Marchand would say. I don't want to cast aspersions, but I think mental might be the case. The store on Ponce de Leon that caught fire on February 10th, the Krispy Kreme, which I used to use all the time when I lived in Midtown.
Yeah.
Arson.
Oh, somebody set it afire. Really?
Yeah, Atlanta Fire Rescue. They got a picture of somebody who was out there, and he's got nice sneakers to be the normal zombies that wander around Ponce de Leon. So for those of you who know my story, whenever I go down the street, usually I would go hit Krispy Kreme, and then I go to Popeyes. It was my Sunday ritual. I make healthy decisions every weekend. And then, Carl, when you'd sit in the Popeyes drive-thru, it was like Attack of the Killer Pimps, you know, from the Hollywood Shuffle. It's like it was like The Walking Dead.
The guy dragging his foot, the brother dragging his foot.
Weighing my money anyway.
Yes.
So I don't want to cast aspersions, but Atlanta Fire Rescue, they've got some grainy footage of whoever this nitwit was who torched
terrible.
The Krispy Kreme.
So here's the deal, right? So Shaq owns it. I know we will rebuild, but wasn't that like one of the oldest buildings?
They redid it, but it is. I can't speak to if it was the original that they retrofitted, but I do know it's one of the older ones in the city. A $10,000 reward, by the way, if you know who torched the Krispy Kreme. I mean, hot. That kind of takes hot and fresh to a whole new.
Yes, it does.
Turn the neon light off. I wonder if one of the firemen got the neon light. Hey, you and I love going to Vegas. Haven't had a chance to do that in a while. Some people say it's the ultimate sucker's bet. How many times, especially for Atlanta folks, if you fly Delta, you're sitting there at the gate and they got the slot machines. And you're like, oh, I got to get in on something. You know, I got nothing else to do. I got 10 bucks left in my last $10. I might as well put it in a one-armed bandit, right?
Done it many times.
Right, ding, me ding, too. Ding, 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 Wheel ding. Of Fortune. Ding, ding, ding,
ding. You're like, I need to get a little bit more of that before I get out of here.
Yeah, hey, Becky won a C-note like last time we were out there for her birthday last year before the COVID hit. Anyway, Wheel of Fortune slot machine, major jackpot, according to the Associated Press. Texas woman, known only as Megan H. I guess she didn't want the family to know she had some extra money. People get their hands out. She won $302,000 and change at McCarran on Thursday. Yeah. Oh, my God, she exclaims as she's clapping, going bananas, as she finds she's won $300,000. And I can't figure out which turn. Oh, it's the B gate. So it's not where. Is that Southwest? Wherever flies out of the B gates at McCarran, that's where she was. So how about that?
Yeah, that's amazing. Because I got to tell you, you know this. There have been many a time just like, damn, I'm leaving a lot of money in this town.
Might as well have it all.
Yes,
right?
Yes. And then you're like, all right, I'm going to go ahead and play. I'm going to just play right just for 5 minutes. So I congratulations. I'd love to be that person. 200 grand?
You and me both, partner.
Come on,
hey,
man,
like I said, and you pick up some bar money. Pick up some cab money so you can get home. Hey, Ice Cube goes on social media. I think believe he was on the Twitter. Apparently, he is upset, and I'm paraphrasing, believe he's peed off, that there hasn't been a Friday sequel in nearly 20 years. He's blaming Warner Brothers, according to TMZ. He fired a shot at Warner Brothers on Twitter, claiming that the media giant, quote, refusing to hand the reins on the Friday franchise to make more sequels and thus hijacking, quote, the happiness of the culture.
They've taken the happiness of the culture.
He's got he says, from the jaws of Warner Brothers, who refuse to make more sequels, they have hijacked the happiness of the culture. And you've got basically everybody. They got a cartoon character of all the characters, including Debo and Chris Tucker. And it's like, bye, Felicia, the whole thing. It's all there.
What would the, how many Fridays? What? Where are we at, by the way? What is next in the Friday series?
Yeah, I was going to say, Warner Brothers owns the rights. The studio doesn't seem interested. There was OG Friday. That was the original, 95. Then there was 2000's Next Friday. Friday After Next, 2002.
Yeah.
So it's
three.
We haven't had number four.
And that's so what? We trying to do Fast and Furious, like Friday after Friday after Friday, yo, Friday?
Well, that's one I'd watch, though. I mean, I'd still like it. I'd laugh at it. You know what I mean? It's you know all the lines.
I know. Listen, I'm not mad at Ice Cube for this. I think if, you know, you're the original writer and owner of that content, which obviously Warner Brothers owns it, but I'm saying, you know, you were part of building that. Let the brother do his thing. Let him do another Friday. Friday after Friday, Friday, Mike.
You know what? Meet you next Friday. All right, let's have a feel-good story on a Friday. Would you be interested, Carl, if you had a good quality of life? I think the answer is obvious. If you can still be able to do things, live to 100 years on this planet. Would you be interested? Now, some of your family might not make it with you, but would you be interested in living to 100?
Yeah, man, I go back and forth on this. I really do, because you and I have had this conversation. Is somebody cleaning me up? Am I walking around?
What's your quality of life?
Yes. Right. So I'm just, for the purposes of this, I'm going to say yes.
Me too. Well, there's a great story in the AJC today, and you can read it about Frank Stovall, who turned 100 yesterday. You know what the key is for Frank making it to the C-note?
Tell me.
Plays tennis every day.
Okay, he's active.
The dude has been playing tennis, man, and he doesn't, as they say in the AJC, he doesn't always catch up to everything, but this cat plays tennis. Again, if the weather is, it's not raining and it's not freezing, he's out there to play. And I love the line, today many shots go past him, but Frank still loves to play. Said his girlfriend, Frank knows what he wants and he knows how to get it, said Agnes Benson.
Frank knows how to get it.
I love that. 100 years, you go, Frank. Frank was born on February 25th, 1921, when Candler Field was still an abandoned racetrack. And this is according to the AJC. He grew up on Gordon Street in southwest Atlanta, took the trolley to Tech High. Later he took engineering at Georgia Tech, served in two wars, had two patents during his career, worked at Lockheed, 100 years old. So how about that, Frank? Playing tennis. God bless him. That's in the AJC if you want to read the whole article.
That's awesome, man. And Frank, happy birthday. Many more. And by the way, Mike, you and I both know this. I don't know what age it is, but old people say whatever the hell they want, right? They don't care. So,
right.
I mean, Frank's seen more than most will see in their entire life. Frank's like, whatever.
All right, let's hit the closing bell. We'll get some other birthdays for you. Yeah. It was a bad one. Everyone's worried about the interest rates and everything else. Drop of the Dow, 469 points. S&P, 18 down. NASDAQ was up, though, 72 points. Closing bell on Dukes and Bell. Just a couple of birthdays real quick. Marshall Faulk, who we spoke to at the Super Bowl, he's 48 today on the 26th.
That's what's up.
Michael Bolton. The real Michael Bolton, not the guy in Office Space, is 68. Erykah Badu is 50.
Badu. Yeah, Badu. She's one of my favorite artists, man. Love her.
Sexy. Hi, I found this name. I had to throw it out there. Rolando Blackman is 62 today, brother. Former ninth overall pick in the NBA.
Wow, Rolando Blackman.
Love the name.
You're
hey, man.
Taking me back with that one.
Old Mavericks, and he was with the Knicks when they couldn't beat Michael Jordan either. Johnny Cash, Victor Hugo, Levi Strauss, Henry Dow is in Dow Chemical, Fats Domino, all born today. Some bad juju, Trayvon Martin, that murder happened in 2012, that creep, George Zimmerman. But again, 1993 was the World Trade Center, the first time they attacked the tower. It was bombed, and obviously it survived, but there was a lot of smoke. There is your guy talk, my man, on a Friday.
Good stuff. Hey, coming up top three at 6. We got more to give you, including what's going on around the NFL. Brian Fisher joined us to talk about it. You'll hear that interview as well. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.